This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. I'm Savannah Guthrie in for Lester, and it is crunch time now. We are hours away from a government shutdown. Today, a mad scramble up and down the halls of Congress, up and down Pennsylvania Avenue, as top lawmakers left the Hill for the White House, meetings and calls with the president, all in a mad scramble to get a deal. At this hour, Washington is once again on the brink, and the clock ticks. NBC's Capitol Hill correspondent Casey Hunt starts us off. Casey, good evening.
Savannah, good evening to you. These developments are happening so quickly. Senate leaders are in fierce negotiations with the White House, trying to break the stalemate, now just hours before the government is set to shut down.
President Trump earlier this afternoon summoning Democratic leader Chuck Schumer down Pennsylvania Avenue to the White House.
We had a long and detailed meeting. We discussed all of the major outstanding issues. We made some progress, but we still have a good number of disagreements. The discussions will continue.
Both sides scrambling for a last-minute compromise, with just hours to go until the government was set to close at midnight.
Senator, any progress?
Hopefully.
Mr. Speaker, are you going to leave town with the government potentially shutting down?
Last night, House Republicans passed a bill to keep the government open for three more weeks. Earlier this morning, threatening to leave town without waiting to see what happened in the Senate.
So you guys are getting out of town even though the government is shutting down?
We did our duty, so why would we wait around? What are we doing?
But quickly reversing course, advising members to stick around as negotiations kept going. Senator Lindsey Graham still working with Democrat Dick Durbin to try and find a compromise to help the so-called Dreamers.
This is Durbin. It did kind of come.
But Senate leaders facing off. Republicans accusing Democrats of hurting millions of kids who rely on the Children's Health Insurance Program, which would be extended under the spending bill. Democrats accusing Republicans of abandoning hundreds of thousands of Dreamers facing deportation starting in March.
We're on the edge of our seat. Every day it's changing, something new, something, you know, added.
And it means everything for your future.
It's our lives.
Democrats insisting Republicans will take the blame for a shutdown.
Mitch McConnell has got to understand that he needs 60 votes. He does not have 60 votes. That means he has to start negotiating with the Democrats.
Now we're still waiting for the Senate to start that key vote. Sources telling NBC News there's still a chance they could strike a deal before midnight, possibly to keep the government open for another 2 or 3 weeks, when we could be right back doing this all over again. Savannah.
All right, Casey, thank you so much. So while the political maneuvering continues, what actually happens if the government shuts down? Unfortunately, we've been here before. NBC Chief White House Correspondent Hallie Jackson now on who will feel it first and hardest.
This typically fast-paced city ready to grind to a halt.
All Library of Congress buildings will close.
From the Library of Congress to the Capitol to the Pentagon.
We do a lot of intelligence operations around the world, and they cost money. Those obviously would stop.
But if the government does shut down, all active duty troops do keep working. So does the FBI and the special counsel focusing on Russia, along with TSA screeners and air traffic controllers. But none of them gets paid during a shutdown. Members of Congress do.
I think that the Congress has forgotten that they're servants of the people and they're living like celebrities.
The American people are probably right now just looking at us and shaking their heads, and I can't blame them.
So what stops? Military death benefits, for example, and passport updates. But Social Security checks keep getting sent. VA hospitals stay open. National parks will, too, although with reduced services. And Smithsonian museums will close Monday. More than half of CDC employees are expected to be furloughed right in the thick of a deadly flu season. And the IRS will feel the pain, too, as they scramble under a new GOP tax law.
If the IRS stops working, how do you actually implement your policy?
Hallie, it's why we don't want the government shut down. It's why we don't want the IRS not to have workers here.
Mike Mikulka works for the EPA, where it's business as usual next week, but week after that, who knows?
I feel badly for the employees at our office, some of which live paycheck to paycheck, that are worried about where is my next paycheck coming from.
President Trump had been planning to spend the anniversary of his inauguration tomorrow at his Mar-a-Lago resort, but tonight we're told he will stay in Washington until this shutdown drama gets resolved.
Savannah?
Hallie Jackson at the White House, thank you. And while most of the oxygen in Washington is consumed by shutdown talk, the president did something today that no other president has done before him. He directly addressed a massive crowd of anti-abortion activists at the annual March for Life rally in the nation's capital. He didn't do it in person. We get more now from NBC White House correspondent Kristen Welker.
President Trump beamed into the March for Life rally by satellite from the Rose Garden, the event just blocks away from the White House.
The March for Life is a movement born out of love.
Celebrated by marchers, energizing his conservative base.
I just think it's amazing that we have a president who stands up for life.
For Joanne Bilduff, whose daughter Katie was adopted, today is personal.
Abortion is not the answer. We have adoption.
But the politics also loomed large. As a businessman, Mr. Trump supported abortion rights, but ran as an anti-abortion Republican candidate. Once in the Oval Office, he's touted some victories for the movement, like nominating conservative Justice Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. But other campaign promises have lagged, like his vow to defund Planned Parenthood and limit late-term abortions.
Why should anti-abortion supporters feel confident that President Trump is going to get some legislative victories?
The pro-life movement has seen a really great year of progress, making sure that our taxpayers are not footing the bill for abortions worldwide.
Tonight, abortion rights advocates say they're increasingly concerned. The president's chipping away at access to safe abortions, contraception, and women's rights.
We've seen this growing sense of need to stand up, need to use our voices.
But for those who march today, new momentum. Kristen Welker, NBC News, Washington.
There are staggering new numbers tonight in the flu emergency sweeping across the country, and they show just how dangerous this year is, particularly for children. And there's also a look at how easily the flu is spread, not only by coughing and sneezing, how about just by breathing? Here's NBC's medical correspondent, Dr. John Torres, reporting from a busy ER in Pennsylvania.
Temperature okay. It's just a couple beeps.
When Tori Kerbler's daughter, Cambry, woke up with a 105-degree fever this morning, she rushed her to the doctor.
What do you think of that, that she might have the flu?
It scares me because I see the horror stories. So as a mom, you know, you think the worst, so I hope it's not.
She's right to be concerned. Already this season, 30 children, many of them healthy to begin with, died, compared to just 5 deaths last year at this time.
So this is the tent?
Yeah, this is their surge hospital.
The frightening rise in flu cases is forcing hospitals across the country to use mobile triage units for the overflow of patients.
It's like an ER.
It's a full functioning ER. Anything that I can do in the main ER, I can do out here.
This one in the parking lot of Lehigh Valley Health Network in Allentown.
We put this up during flu season because we've seen a massive rise in our volume and surges. And so we wanted to get the patients out here, out and be able to be seen as efficiently as possible.
In some places, hospitals are restricting visitors, rescheduling surgeries, even FaceTiming appointments. And now new evidence that keeping flu patients isolated is more vital than ever. A report out today says the flu virus may be spread not only by coughing and sneezing, but also by just breathing. Exhaled virus particles can stay in the air for minutes or even hours.
So if you're sick, stay home.
If you're sick, stay home. Yeah, don't go to work, don't go to school, you know, these kind of things.
An update on Cambry, the 3-year-old patient. She did test positive for the flu, was treated with Tamiflu, and was discharged home with her mom. Today's CDC report shows there's no sign of this flu letting up. And here at Lehigh Valley Hospital, they expect to continue seeing patients here in this emergency flu tent for at least the next few weeks. Savannah?
On the front lines there, Dr. John Torres, thank you. Police are revealing new details in the worst mass shooting in U.S. history, but they still don't know the motive that led the Las Vegas gunman, Stephen Paddock, to kill 58 people. While on Paddock's computers, police found his online searches showed him scoping out other potential targets, including colleges and sports venues. Police also say they found child pornography. And while they're still seeking a person of interest in the case, police believe Paddock was the lone gunman, and no charges are expected against his girlfriend. Now to California, where the story of 13 siblings allegedly subjected to years of torture and starvation by their own parents has horrified and enraged all who have heard the disturbing details. Tonight, NBC's Miguel Almaguer with the latest on the siblings' ordeal and the new efforts to help them.
At the home where the 13 children are said to have been beaten, strangled, and chained to furniture for years, today strangers leaving behind what their parents never gave them, balloons, flowers, and toys. This as we spoke to a classmate of one of the victims who briefly attended community college.
He was tiny in frame, very, very bent. Attended class in the same clothing, same pair of Levi's, same t-shirt for the entire semester.
Angie Para, who asked not to be on camera, remembers lunchtime at school.
It was very apparent that he was hungry, and he stood by the table, didn't sit down with his plate, and just literally ate plate after plate after plate.
The horrific details of torture and starvation turned this home into a prison in plain sight.
Everyone, I'm sure, around the world has heard the story, but not everyone knows what they can do to take action.
Clothes and cash are now flooding in. The victims, 2 to 29 years old, face a world of uncertainty, still living in a hell of their own, created by the mother and father who were supposed to protect them. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Paris, California.
Still ahead, it is turning into a zoo up there. Why a major airline is cracking down on emotional comfort animals. Also, inspiring America, how a trip to Disney World and a viral photo helped save a father of five's life. We're back now with the new crackdown on commercial planes. It's a zoo up there, and we're not talking about bad behavior among passengers. We're talking about those emotional support animals on board. A lot of people have a real need for them, but one major airline is tightening the leash on how easy it is to bring them on board. NBC News investigative correspondent Jeff Rossin has tonight's Rossin Reports.
Tonight, Delta is cracking down, issuing new rules for passengers with emotional support animals. People bringing pigs on flights, even ducks and kangaroos. The airline reporting an 84% spike in animal incidents, including urination, defecation, and biting.
Often it's about the money, because one way to travel with a pet on some airlines can be up to $600. But if that animal is designated as an emotional support animal, it gets to come with you for free.
So experts say in recent years, more and more people are cheating the system, getting certified online for an emotional support pet without any proof. I tried it in the past.
What type of animal do you have? Dog.
Getting my ESA certification in just minutes.
And boom, there it is. Based on your responses, you are a good candidate for an emotional support animal. Great.
Then they email me this official letter from a real mental health professional.
Come on.
And before you know it, I'm flying with Rory. My producer, Lindsay, did it too. With a pig.
Pig on a plane.
But now Delta's new rules making it harder to pass your pet off as an ESA. You must provide the pet's ESA certification, proof of health, and a signed document saying your pet has been trained. You need to send the documents to Delta 48 hours ahead of your flight.
How will this help?
Hopefully by reducing fraud, but without putting a greater burden on people who really need emotional support animals.
Weeds out the bad ones, keeps the good ones able to do it.
That's what we're hoping.
And late today, word that American Airlines may follow Delta's lead. Jeff Rossin, NBC News, New York.
Coming up, it's something that hasn't happened in over 25 years, but a lot of working moms will relate to this big announcement. And Amazon Prime is raising its prices. How much more you'll have to pay. She's going to be a working mom who just so happens to have a country to run. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced she's pregnant with her first child. She'll be the first world leader to give birth in office since Pakistan's Benazir Bhutto in 1990. Ardern says she will take 6 weeks of leave, though her country allows up to 22 weeks. The deputy prime minister will fill in for her. Ardern's partner plans to be a stay-at-home dad. Amazon is hiking prices for Prime customers who pay by the month. The fee will jump about 18% from $10.99 to $12.99 a month. If you pay annually, your rate stays at $99 a year. The company gave no specific reason for the monthly price increase, but said it continues to invest in making Prime even more valuable for members. And Surf's Up way up in the west. Monster waves triggered by high winds have been pounding beaches up and down the east coast, the west coast, some waves as high as 60 feet. Too dangerous even for some of the world's best surfers. A major competition was put on hold south of San Francisco. When we come back, the father of five who got a life-saving gift, all thanks to a viral photo. Inspiring America is next. Finally tonight, a fateful vacation to Disney World and the photo from it that went viral and helped save one dad's life. NBC's Kristen Dahlgren has tonight's Inspiring America report.
For Robert Leibowitz, the worst part of kidney failure isn't 12 hours of dialysis every week. It's knowing how much his five children worry. The donor list can be a seven-year wait.
I was desperate. Like, what do I got to do that I can get a normal life back together?
So he came up with a crazy idea.
And I thought, you know, where am I going to hit more people than I am in a week in Disney?
A family vacation in this T-shirt. The picture went viral.
Within the first 24 hours, we had 33,000 Facebook shares.
But would someone out there actually donate one of their kidneys to a stranger?
I called them like, hey, my name is Richie. I saw your post. I have an extra kidney. I'm O positive.
Miles away in Indiana.
Which clothes do you want to wear?
Richie Sully, 39-year-old father of two girls, never thought of being a kidney donor until he read about Robert.
If I can give this guy 20 more years with his kids, I mean, who wouldn't do that as a parent or as a person?
Humanity has a new name, and his name is Richie Sully.
Where's my brother from a different mother?
His kidney was a perfect match. So were their personalities.
Give me a piece of your kidney, baby.
So this week at New York Presbyterian Weill Cornell Medical Center,
kidney.
They had their surgery. Richie, humble.
I'm not an angel. I'm just doing
you're an angel.
Robert's mom.
To us, you're an angel.
And kids set him straight.
Can't explain as much as you. Thank you so much.
Once a stranger who saved a life.
I love you, buddy.
Now, a lifelong friend. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, New York.
And tonight, Robert and Richie tell us they're recovering from surgery and they're doing well. That is nightly news for this Friday night. I'm Savannah Guthrie in for Lester. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and have a great evening.